Amen. Pray God will bless you for having come this way. Now open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Daniel, chapter number 7. Daniel, chapter number 7. We're going to continue our series we've been preaching on that we call A Visit to God's Library. A Visit to God's Library. God has some books. One of these days, we're going to see everything that's in those books, but we can get a glimpse of it right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Kind of let him in on it in Sunday school this morning, but the Lord gave me another series to be working on. I hope this is not boring you. I've only got two books left to cover, one today and then one the next time I preach. But God willing, and He gives me the stuff. Next series will be entitled Voices from Unexpected Places. Voices from Unexpected Places. But now we're in Daniel chapter 7 and verse number 9. This is what the man Daniel saw. If you read the rest of this chapter, you'll find he was much troubled by what he saw. But here was the conclusion. Daniel 7 verse 9, I beheld till the thrones were cast down. Those were the thrones of this present age. And the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as a burning fire. Now, if you'll read the description of Jesus in Revelation chapter 1, you'll see that he's talking about one and the same. Verse 10 says, and a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and the judgment was set. And the books were opened. All right, let's turn to the last book in the Bible, the chapter number 20 of the book of Revelation. And we're going to read a few verses there in the Word of God. More about books. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 11 says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now let me mention something quickly, because I don't mention it too often. The church has a website. It's simply this, calvarybonifay.com. There you will find information about the church. You will find each message that is preached in the church. You'll find a lot of Brother Ike's old messages are stored there also. If you want to watch a video of the service, the easiest way to get there that I've found is to Google or use whatever search engine you choose to use, and simply put in there Calvary Baptist Bonifay Facebook. Calvary Baptist Bonifay Facebook. That will take you directly to the church's page there on Facebook. If you'll scroll down to the first couple of videos there, you'll see the little word see all. If you'll click on that, you'll see all of the ones that are there, and especially the more recent one. I've downloaded all the videos of this series that I've been preaching, and I'll have those available if you would like one for $1.298. So, having said that, I also have a website. It's simply DonovanMurphy.com. DonovanMurphy.com. There you'll find about 500 of my sermons going back to the late 80s. Wow, where did time go? 500 messages. That's a lot of preaching. So if any of those interest you, then hopefully you can get there and find you something. Amen. Or as long as they'll allow us to be there, and we don't have any guarantee on that, do we? Now I want us to read one other verse before we begin the message today. Back in the book of Job. The book of Job, chapter number 16. Find the book of Psalms and turn backward one book and you will find the book of Job. And find chapter number 16. We've talked about the books in God's library. We've talked about the book of right. The book that has in it the laws of God by which sets the standards of man's moral behavior for righteousness in God's eyes. He will judge us not by what the Supreme Court or man dictates is described as right, but he will judge us according to what he has defined as that which is right. We found that he also has the book of Ruth in Psalm 139. The King David, he said, all my members thou hast written in thy book. He said, you saw my substance when there was really nothing there to see. That word substance we found was literally the word for an embryo. Amen. Then we found that he has a book of remorse. We found that he has a book where he writes about all of our tears. Matter of fact, he says he has a bottle that he saves our tears in. Hallelujah. Those will be brought to remembrance whenever we stand before the judgment of God. Then our last message was on a book we call the Book of Remembrance. We found in Malachi chapter 3, where he said there that then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord heard it, and he wrote it in a book. Amen. He has a book of remembrance. Well, we come to the fifth book today, and it is a book that I call the Book of Records. The Book of Records. If you found Job chapter 16, I want you to look at verse number 19. Here's what Job said. Now, understand this. Job is the oldest written book in the Bible. Job was a contemporary of Abraham, which means that he lived 400 years before Moses lived, and Moses wrote the book of Genesis. So it's the oldest written book in the Bible. And I want you to look how relevant the book is. Look in verse 16 and verse 9, chapter 16 and verse 19. Job says this to those accusers of his. Also now, behold, my witness is in heaven. Look what he says. And my record is on high. Do you see that? Job said that his record, the truth about his life, was not determined by his so-called friends who came and accused him of being a sinner. He said, I want to tell you something. God's writing everything down. I've got a record on high. God knows the truth. And one of these days you'll see, boys, that you were wrong. So in the book of Revelation and also in Daniel chapter 7, when the Bible talks about the books being open, in verse number 12, the books were open. There he's talking about the books wherein my life and your life, the events and the record of all that we have done have been recorded. I remember there was a time when man's imagination would say, well, how in the world could God keep track of the lives of everybody? How much information that would take? I have a little a memory card at the house. I mean, that thing is not much bigger than your fingernail. And I looked up on the internet how many pages of text, in other words, pages that you and I would write out or would say. And it was a small card back then, and it would hold hundreds of thousands of pages on that little thing. Now there are much bigger ones. Do you really think God's going to have a problem recording the details of my life and of your life? No, I don't think so. And so there's coming a day when all will stand before God. He says the small and the great. And the books will be opened, and they will be judged out of the things that are written in those books according to their works. Amen. So the first thing I want you to notice here is the description of the throne. Look at this, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. Amen. John said, I saw a great white throne. Amen. Look at that description. The first thing that he says is that this throne was great. Now notice there at the beginning of verse 11, he says, and I saw. If you look at the book of Revelation and check it for yourself, you'll find that expression, I saw, used by John, appears 99 times in the book of Revelation. 99 times. Now, if you will add up the number of verses in the book of Revelation, you will find that there are 404 verses. That means one out of every four verses in the book of Revelation, you'll find those two words, and I saw. That is what John is talking about. He's not dictating something to be sent to the seven churches because he has a message for them. He's telling them what he saw. And I have a feeling, much like the prophet Daniel, who didn't understand a lot of what he saw, a lot of what he had to write, I believe John was in the same position, amen. And so there's a lot of controversy about the book of Revelation, amen, because everybody wants to know what every jot and every tittle means. But I want to tell you something about the book of Revelation. It is not a sealed book, but it is a book for a special day. And when the things begin to come to pass in the book of Revelation, that generation that's alive then, especially those who are the people of God, will know exactly what's going on. And so John said, this is something else that I saw. I saw a great white throne. Number one, it's a royal throne. Hallelujah. You know, I used to watch a lot of news. I watch enough now just to make me miserable. And I see where they call a lot of people to appear before Congress. That goober over Facebook and different people like that. And you know one thing that I noticed about that? Never accomplishes anything. They never fixed anything. It doesn't do any good. But I want to tell you something. There's coming a day when every man, woman, boy, and girl will stand before what John described as a great white throne. Hallelujah. You know what the word great is? If you look it up in the original language, it's the word megas, from which we get our word mega. What does that mean? That means this throne was not an average, ordinary size throne. This was a huge throne. It was a mega throne. Amen. You couldn't miss it. As a matter of fact, it's so impressive that the Bible says the heaven and the earth fled away from them. What does that mean? That's apocalyptic language for how that the fear of the one sitting on the throne is impressed upon those who behold it. That's what John's saying. I want you to look back, if you will, in the book of Revelation chapter 6. We see that language used there. Revelation chapter number 6, and toward the end of that chapter there is the seals are open. Revelation 6 and verse 15 says this, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bond man and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks and the mountains. Why did they do that? Look, verse 16. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? What John is saying is, this was such an awesome throne. This was such a great throne. This was such a magnificent, powerful throne that it immediately struck fear in all who beheld it. Amen. I want to tell you, there's coming a day when the atheists, the boasters, are going to fall down before that throne. Amen. They may think they won't, but when they behold it, they'll have no other choice. Amen. I watched a debate the other night between an atheist and I forget the other man's name. Jordan. What's his first name? Jordan.
Peterson.
Yeah, Jordan Peterson. That's it. That's him. And her argument and her atheism was this, that life is meaningless. That was it. I said, well, there's a clue right there for you, lady. Why is your life meaningless? Because you don't have God in your life, amen. You have no purpose and no reason for me. And she argued with him, and of course he said, you're wrong. Amen. Life is not meaningless. What a terrible way to live. And what's bad, she was a professor in a university teaching our children. Amen. The Bible says if the blind lead the blind, the boat gonna fall in the ditch. And I'm afraid that's why we're in position and the trouble that we're in now. Amen. It was a great throne, but not only was it a great throne, he said it was a white throne. It was not only a throne that represented royalty because of him who sat on it, but it also represented righteousness. In the Bible, the color white always represents righteousness, whether it applies to God or whether it applies to the robes of God's saints. Amen. It's a righteous throne. What does that mean? That means, my friend, I want to tell you, when you stand before that judge, the ruling that comes forth from that throne, that comes forth from that judge, amen, it'll be a righteous judgment. You don't have to worry about corruption. You don't have to worry about bribery. You don't have to worry about a bad decision. It'll be a righteous decision, amen. Boy, I get so sick of watching the news. Texas passes an abortion law. The Supreme Court affirms it, and then a lower court tries to change it. Then the court above that says, now wait a minute, I thought all of our judges were supposed to represent the Constitution. Why are they so different? You ever read the Constitution? It's a little document. It doesn't take that long to read it. Why does this educated bunch of goobers that go to school for years, sit on a bench for years, get up here and all of a sudden they look at the same document and come to a different conclusion? Things have got too educated, too complicated. Amen? And our forefathers never intended that way. Don't know why I got on that, but there you go. He said it is a great white throne. That's what he saw. That was the description. Amen. Now let's look, if you will, to the deliverer that's on the throne. You see, if there's a throne there, then somebody is sitting on that throne. The throne itself would be impressive, but it would not create the fear. What creates the fear is the one who's sitting on the throne. You know, we've got a lot of religions today that want to focus on Jehovah, Yahweh. I'm all for Jehovah, Yahweh. Good to understand what those things mean. But I want to tell you something, my friend. It's the name Jesus that we're talking about. He was the deliverer, and He is the one that is sitting upon this throne. If you'll go later to John chapter 5 and verse 22, here's what Jesus said, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." My friend, don't think whenever you stand before that throne, you're going to see an old man with a long beard, amen, that we would call God the Father. Your only thing you're ever going to see about God is what you see in Jesus Christ, amen. What you see in Him bodily is all you ever see about God. You'll never see God in His full essence, amen. That's impossible for a man to comprehend. You're going to see Jesus, and so upon this throne, my friend, sits the Deliverer. Who better to judge the sinners of this world than the one who gave His own life and shed His own blood that they might be saved? And so we see on this throne the Lamb of Calvary. We'll have to deal with this more next time we preach. The final book will be called the Book of the Redeemed. The Lamb of Calvary. Why did God commit judgment to the Son? Because He's the one who gave up His throne in heaven and was born in a feed trough and lived 33 and a half years as a man in a man's body and experienced everything the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that you and I experience in this life. Who better to judge man than one who has been a man and experienced life as a man? Amen. That's why the book of Hebrews says we have a compassionate High Priest. He understands our sorrows. He understands our hurt. Therefore, He makes the perfect judge. He's the Lamb of Calvary, but He's also the Lord of glory. You see, as the Lamb of Calvary, He was rejected. As the Lord of glory, He's neglected. By the way, Hayward, Ricky, y'all need to zoom in that camera because all it shows is me and these empty pews here. I don't like people to see empty pews. Now, you that are out there in space land, the house is not empty. There's a good many people here. But for some reason, maybe I spit or sputter, I don't know, but for some reason, these right here are empty. And I don't like people to see empty pews. I don't like to see empty pews, amen. Why is it that people neglect the Son of God, the one who gave up His royal robes of eternity, and He came and condescended to die a criminal's death and shed His blood for our sins? Why can't we take an hour out of our week to come to the house of God and say, thank you, Lord, for Your mercy, Your grace, and for saving a wretched soul like me? I don't understand that. I know ever since God saved me, hallelujah, I've wanted to be in the midst of whatever God was in. Hallelujah. Amen. So as the Lamb of Calvary, He was rejected. As the Lord of glory, He's neglected. Amen. But He's going to judge us one day for how we respond to His person and His work. But then we get to the details of what I call the documentation at the throne. He says here that books, the books, were opened. What is the purpose of these books? I know that their immediate purpose is for judgment, to make a legitimate judgment. But they literally are there for evidence. You see, a prosecuting attorney, he can never take any case to court unless he knows he has sufficient evidence to prosecute the case. Now, you see, if it were not for the books, maybe some of these heathen of this world, these ungodly, would have an argument, a defense to present before God. But I want to tell you something. When the prosecuting attorney comes with a loaded gun, when he has the evidence, then my friend, you and I are going to be in trouble. Amen. And so there's documentation. By the way, you know that our government today probably knows more about us than we know about ourselves. Because I forget more every day. By the way, you that voted for Mr. Biden, if he has his way, very soon he will be able to get his hands in your bank account. And every transaction that you make over $600, he wants to know about it. He will know about it. I'm telling you, I talked to Miss Ann the other day, if that junk passes, I think I'm going to go over here to the bank that ain't far from here. I believe I'm going to draw out every cent I have. All right, I see you're impressed. What are they looking for, and what's the purpose of that? One reason to have evidence against you if they decide they want to prosecute you. Now, I want to tell you something right now. I don't trust the FBI. I don't trust the CIA. I don't trust the NSA. I don't trust the home security people anymore than I trust the devil himself. Why? Because they've all become politically corrupt. And if they want to prosecute you or me, my friend, they won't have any problem. But I would like to have my money where they couldn't find it. Amen. Now you do what you want. I'm just talking. I'm talking about evidence. That's the documentation that we see. Well, what is written in the book, preacher? Three things. Number one, written in the books of records is what they did. What they did. Look, if you will, back in the Gospel of John, chapter 3. The Gospel of John, chapter number 3. John chapter 3, verse 19. Here's what the Bible says. And this is the condemnation. It's another word for judgment. That light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. And here's the reason. Because their, what's that next word? Deeds. What they did were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. What's he talking about there? What men do and why they do it. You see, when man's doing something corrupt and something he knows is wrong, he tries to hide it. That's what it talks about, why he wants to stay in the darkness, so that people can't see it. Everybody knows our president's son has made a living off of his daddy for the past 50 years. And when he gets caught at it, he goes into hiding, but he doesn't quit his ways no more than any other sinner does. Now, he's making his money by selling his art. Have you seen that art? I can't write my own name, but if that's worth anything, I believe I got some money to be made. Amen? Huh? You see what I'm saying? Man operates in darkness because his deeds are evil and they are wrong, but the fatal mistake that he makes is he thinks that it's coming up. But I want you to know, and I want them to know, my friend, that God is writing down in His book of records everything that you ever do. Not only what you did, but why you did it. Now that's a scary thought. See, a person could come into this church and he could walk down here and say, I've got a check for $5,000 I want to give to this church and put it in that plate. And we'd all say, hallelujah. But why did he give it? What was his motivation? If his motivation was to glorify God, he wouldn't have told none of us about it. He'd just put the check in the plate, wouldn't he? You see, there's a motive behind what you do. And it consists of two different things. It's either for your glory or it's for God's glory. That's why Jesus said, when you give your alms, he said, give them in secret. He went this far. He said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Amen. Why? Because it's all being recorded. You understand that God's not only going to judge us based upon what we did, but why we did it. This bunch running this country today is so hungry for power and dominion that they don't care if it brings this nation down as long as they're in charge and they get their way. That's their motivation. Sad to say, most of them are what I'd call globalists. They don't want to live under national sovereignty, but they want to live under global sovereignty. Why, that will fix the immigration problem. You know, the mark of the beast will have a lot of advantages when it does show up. Amen. Amen. God has the record of all that we did. But not only that, God has a record of all that we hid. If you read the major prophets and some in the Psalms, you hear people say this. They do things and then they say this. They say, God doesn't know it. God doesn't see it. Like God is ignorant of what's going on. But such is the reprobate mind. And so we actually think that we can hide our sin. And you can hide it from God, from man, amen. But you'll never hide it from God. We'll be judged because of what we did. And we'll be judged because of what we hid. Jesus said this in the Gospel of Luke chapter 8 verse 17. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest. Neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Romans 2:16, writing to the Jew, he said this, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. I like to name names, but I'm not going to name any right now. But all kinds of people are whizzing through my brain that think that they have hid what they have done and that they have gotten away with it. It'd make you choke to death if you knew how many of our political leaders are nothing more than pedophiles. They'll probably arrest me for that, but I'm old and tired anyway. I need a rest. They think that it's here. They think they've got away with it with their chins in the air. And how arrogant our leaders are today, amen. Rather than being servants, which is what our forefathers intended, they now become arrogant, dominating dictators in our lives. That's why they want to get their hand in your bank account. It's all about your money. And by the way, while I'm on it, this global warming, climate change garbage is nothing else but another way to get their hand on your money. Climate has always changed. It will change until Jesus returns and sets it the way that He wants it to be. It's nothing new, and there's not anything of them taking your money that will ever fix it. They can't control a low or a high in the weather. They can't control anything. Oh, but if you'll just give me your money, we'll change this climate. We'll save the world. Son, that's a reprobate mind that thinks that. You thinking you've got more power than God? You see, they're masking it, they're hiding it, all to get their hands on your money and my money. But I want to tell you something. God's writing every bit of it down. And friend, I love science, but it's got to the point today where you can no longer trust science. Why do you think so many people are refusing to get the COVID vaccine? We've come to a place where we don't trust our own government. Why? Because they hide so much. And by the way, you and I to this day do not know the truth of that COVID virus. It's hid. But I want to tell you somebody who does know the truth about it. And he's got it written in the book, amen. And man may think he's got away with something. Man may think he's hiding something from God. But God's got it wrote down. And when the time comes, he'll present the evidence. What's in the book of records? What man did, what man hid, and what man said. Ooh. Now we're getting down to details. We're not only going to be judged for our actions, but we're going to be judged for our words. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. Listen to what Jesus said. Matthew 12, 36. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. That's what we're talking about. Verse 37, he said, for by thy words thou shalt be justified. And by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Oh, God's got a record of what we did, what we hid, and what we have said. And God is going to judge us for those words. You better be careful what you say about the church of God. You better be careful what you say about the man of God. God takes those things very seriously, amen. And one of these days you'll give an account. Now I say that because I can remember preaching at a church, and before my behind could warm up my couch, one of the ladies was walking down the road running her head and gossiping about what I had said. She's in eternity now. And it's written in the book. Amen? God's going to judge us for what we say. Oh, my word. Now that gets us all in trouble. Do you want me to tell you why? James said, in James chapter 3, he said, we put rudders on ships. We put bits in horses' mouths to control them. But no man can control his tongue. Who can't control their tongue? Not none of us. That means that's the first thing we ought to be on alert for, amen, before we open our mouth and say something. And I'm the world's worst. I know that. But I'll give an account one day before Almighty God. So we see the description of the throne, the deliverer on the throne, the documentation at the throne. But then we see the damned taken away from before the throne. They were cast into a lake of fire. Now I want you to notice something. You can agree with me. You don't have to agree with me. You never have to agree with me. You just have to allow me to preach what I believe. Look what he said there in verse number 11. Who did he see stand before the throne? Revelation 20 and verse 11. And I saw the what? Verse 12. I saw the dead. The dead. Now let me give you a little New Testament clue into language. The New Testament does not refer to God's people as being dead. It refers to God's people as being asleep. What does this say here? I saw the dead, small and great. Now, if you read the first part of chapter number 20, it talks about an angel coming down, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain, and he changed the devil up and binds him, listen now, for 1,000 years. Now, that expression, 1,000 years, is found 6 times in this one chapter. Now, I'm no genius, I'm not smart, I'm not real educated, but I am dumb enough to believe that when the Bible says 1,000 years, 6 times in one chapter, I'm going to accept it as 1,000 years. Why you say that, preacher? Because many people don't believe this means a literal 1,000 years. It talks about a resurrection prior to that 1,000 years. And now, after that 1,000 years, we see another group of people standing before this great white throne. Who are they there? My friend, they are the dead. They are people that died without the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They have been brought up out of hell to stand before this throne, to be judged. You say, well, preacher, if they were already in hell, why bring them out? Why not leave them there? Two things. They're brought out of hell to stand before this throne, and the books are open in order to provide the evidence that they deserve to be exactly where they are. Now, let me tell you what will happen to you. Let's say I go down to Bonifay tomorrow, and I robbed the Bank of Bonifay. It ain't called Bank of Bonifay. Let's say I robbed Regions. And I get caught. Where are they going to carry me? They're going to carry me to the jail. My nephew John's going to tote me out there, amen, on Lindsay Drive, and put me in the jail. And I'm going to stay in the jail until I stand before the judge. And when I stand before the judge, the evidence is going to be presented. The books are going to be open. And whenever the testimony of the law enforcement, of the clerks at the Region Bank, and everybody who was in there dealing with money when I went in there and robbed that place testify, the evidence is going to conclude that I am guilty. And when I am declared guilty by the evidence, the judge is going to pronounce sentence on me. Now, when the judge pronounced sentence on me, where am I going? I'm not going back to jail. Where am I going? I'm going to the big pen, the prison. That's the same thing here. A man that dies without Christ, he will open his eyes up in torment in a place called hell. And it is a place where he cannot escape. Abraham said there's a great gulf there that he cannot cross. The other was the department of the dead. And when they will be brought out of there and the evidence will be presented. We know of a rich man who died and went there. When these books are open and he stands before God and he pleaded while he was there, the books are going to be open. And I don't know exactly what it says, but I'm going to just use my imagination and tell you what I think some of it said. Abraham said some of it. He said, son, you had some good things in your life. Lazarus didn't have those things. And he opens the book and he looks and he said, here was old Lazarus, who we know was a righteous man. And he was laid at your gate every day. That means somebody brought him there. And he had the testimony of righteousness. And I believe that old Lazarus probably told him about the Lord and about salvation. And that's going to be brought up. How do you know that, preacher? Because who did the rich man want Lazarus to go talk to? No, I'm sorry. Who did he want to go talk to his brethren? Lazarus! Why Lazarus? Because Lazarus had talked to him about God. Amen! They will be brought out of hell and stand before the throne, and the evidence will present it to come to a conclusion and make it clear that they are exactly where they deserve to be. They are exactly where they wanted to be. But not only that, they're going to be brought out to stand before this throne to determine the extent of their punishment. Not just the evidence, but the extent of their punishment. Do you know that there are degrees of torment and punishment in hell? And that some people will be judged much more greater and much more severely than others. And what will make that conclusive is what is written in the books. Now I want you to go Matthew 11. I'm going to prove that to you. Say, preacher, I've never heard of such. Well, I'm going to read it to you. Matthew chapter number 11, the words of Jesus about the extent of our torment in eternity and our suffering. Matthew chapter number 11 and verse number 20. Then began he, Jesus, to upbraid. What does that mean? To condemn, to get on to. The cities wherein most of his mighty works were done. Ooh, do you see that? And then he names them. Chorazim, Bethsaida, Capernaum. Where was Jesus' headquarters? And where did he do most of his miracles? His headquarters was Peter's mother's house in Capernaum. And there he did many of his wonderful works. There he walked on the Sea of Galilee. There he healed. He did all of these magnificent works. Now look what he said in verse 21. Verse 20. He began to upbraid them because there where most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe to thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, two of the biggest idolatrous cities of the Old Testament, and even in Jesus' time, he said, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, look now, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon when? At the day of judgment. Than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, why, that's where his headquarters were, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Now, my friend, you need to think about this. Our fellow Americans need to think about this. Anybody that dies and goes to hell in the United States of America, where there's a church on every corner, where there's a gospel message being preached on the radios 24 hours a day, where man has freedom and opportunity to pursue God, to live for God, to serve God. If that man dies and goes to hell in the land of freedom, my friend, the judgment at the day of judgment before this throne will be more severe, amen, than it will be for Sodom and Gomorrah. And we know their sins. You know how God describes Sodom in Genesis chapter 18? Exceeding wicked. If a person sits on a church pew and they die and go to hell, son, it's going to be much rougher on them than for Sodom and Gomorrah. Now that's what Jesus said there. There are degrees of torment and suffering in hell because of the opportunities that one had compared to the rest of the world. There are people around this world who would love to hear the preaching that you're hearing this morning. Not because it's me, but because it's Bible. But we in America, we get lackadaisical, we get fat, we get lazy, and we say, well, I can't make it today, but I'll be able to make it Sunday, next Sunday, and we just lay out, and something else comes up next Sunday. God help you. God help you. The God that began writing in His books is still writing to this point in time, and He will write until the time of this great, white throne. Now, I'm glad I'm not going to have to appear before this throne. Why? Because I'm not dead. A preacher, you're going to die. Well, that ain't what Jesus said. John chapter 11, talking to Martha, she said, I know about the last day and the resurrection. Jesus said this. He said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I ain't gonna die. Oh yeah, this old carcass, it's gonna drop one day, and I'll be glad when it does. I'm tired of living in it the way that it is, and it's only gonna get worse the longer I hang around. I'm ready, amen. But I ain't gonna be dead, amen. Be with the Lord. One of these days He'll give me a new body. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory to God. I want you to know something. God's writing her down. When I watch the news and I see the arrogance, and you can see the look on the people's faces who say, I've gotten away with it. There's nothing that you can do about it. I just say this for you. There's somebody who knows about it. There's somebody who's making a record of it. And one of these days, He's going to draw you up to answer for the things that you've done. Preacher, what in this world can I do? The only thing you can do, my friend, is get saved. If you get saved, you won't have to worry about this book. Because you won't be written in that, but these books judged according to their works. But you will be, your name will be written in this other book, the book of life. That's what we'll deal with next time. What I call the book of the redeemed. Hallelujah. Anybody's name who's written in that book, my friend, he's judged not according to what he has done. He's judged according to what Christ has done with reference to hell. We'll deal with that a little bit more. Amen. God bless you. Ricky, if you and Miss Emily will come, we're going to sing a song. We'll dismiss. I pray that in my rambling and stuttering, I've said something that has helped you this morning to understand God's worth serving. You see, God's got some books. Those books of remembrance we talked about. He's going to open one day, and He's going to judge you and I out of those books, not with reference to hell or eternal life. Jesus took care of that 2,000 years ago. That question's off the table. It's a done deal. Hallelujah. But when He opens those books, it will determine our reward for serving the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. What number, brother?